This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Friday, this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Mackett Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. They'll make sure you're fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. Look, they're great people. I spend a lot of time around the great people at Purdy Insurance and the Purdy family. They're just great people. That's why customer service is the big winner here, because that means everything to them. You're not a number. You're somebody who has insurance needs, and they want to take care of those insurance needs and save you money in the process. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online with sunburymotors.com. So, the big weekend, blue-white weekend. It's not going to rain tomorrow. That's the good part. It's not going to rain at all. And the ground here is saturated. You know, if for the football team, by the way, tomorrow, when you go to Beaver Stadium and say you were at Beaver Stadium for what was the Michigan State game this year, was Senior Day? Okay? You're like, that's the last time I went to Beaver Stadium. Well, guess what? That's also the last time the football team went to Beaver Stadium. They were scheduled to be in Beaver Stadium four times this spring, including tomorrow. So they're supposed to have been in three other times in Beaver Stadium. And because of the weather or the conditions, they couldn't go. So when they go in tomorrow, it'll be the first time all spring they've been in Beaver Stadium, and for the freshmen and for a couple of the transfers, because obviously Julian Fleming's played in there, right? It'll be their first time in there. And that's one of the reasons. That's where you do get some value out of this. You'll get a chance to evaluate a lot of players and get to evaluate players with fans there. Beaver Stadium is a different ball game with fans in there. I mean, first of all, you have guys that walk in there when it's scrimmage time, you know, and it's empty. It's empty. And they've gone in for the, like, second or third time ever, and they're looking around like, like, you can see it. They're looking around. It's empty. Imagine what it's like when there's people from their perspective. So, yeah. But again, the last time you were in Beaver Stadium is the last time they were in Beaver Stadium. Just the way it worked out. And that'll be tomorrow. Masters. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you were looking for anything in particular tomorrow.
No, the big thing for me is not getting anybody else hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the big part of this. I always go back to when Pete Massaro got hurt. P- Pete was poised. You could just tell he was going to be a really good defensive end for Penn State. And then he got hurt during the blue-white game. He ended up tearing his ACL. And that play has always stuck out to me as to, okay, in the end, you want to get work in, and you want to get good work in, which they have an opportunity to do tomorrow, especially with a crowd there. But just make sure when it's all done, the team has been able to leave the field unscathed. That's the big part. And I think in the end, I mean, that's to me what it's all about. Good work, nobody hurt.
And I guess with them being so vanilla, it would probably be pretty hard to read what they want to do with the receivers and other such things, I would assume.
No, but this is what you want to see. You want to see timing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the timing with the quarterbacks? You want to see no drops. You want to see them going up against a secondary that's pretty darn good. A.J. Harris, Jalen Kimber, Cam Miller, Zion Tracy, Elliot Washington, Adavian Collins. Collins has had a really good spring. I mean, Collins came in. James said he came in to Penn State, and he had been at Mississippi State for a year. So he's got a lot of time left on his clock here. He came in to Penn State about 159. And James said to me, he says, Steve, I couldn't believe a guy would come in from an SEC school, right, and be 159 pounds. Right? Well, they got him at 183 now. And he's having no problem, by the way, carrying the weight. And Collins has had a really, really good spring. AC's been good, and I give him a lot of credit because A.J. Harris, whom I really like a lot, Jalen Kimber, whom I think is very good, right, Cam Miller, everybody knows how high I am in Cam Miller, Tracy Washington, I'll tell you, Elliot Washington's had a really good spring too. And then you got Johnny Mitchell and Antoine Belgrave Shorter. Man. Now, these receivers are working against these guys. And if they're making some plays, that's a really good sign for what they can do. And, by the way, during the spring, they have made plays. You know, Caden Saunders, Liam Clifford, right, Amari Evans, of course, Julian, Harrison Wallace. I mean, they've been making plays. This has been a case where you feel like the defense has helped make the offense better, and you feel like the offense is doing its part to make the defense better. It's been pretty good to this point. Yeah. So, I mean, you look at that part. So what's the timing look like? Here's your opportunity, really first opportunity. That literally is your first opportunity as a fan to see Cam Wallace run the football. Cam didn't play a single down last year. Well, you get to see Cam Wallace run the football. You get to see London Montgomery run the football. True freshman, Quentin Martin. David Kensey. Okay. You'll have two 25s. Kensey is the shorter 25. Okay. Emil Davis. Emil got his stripe yesterday from the other running backs. It's pretty cool when something like that happens. You know, you get to see guys like Rojas and DeLuca and King and Elsden. But then you'll get a chance to see Tamir Robinson. You know, see what he can do out there. Kavion Keys. See what he does out there. Right? You'll get a chance to see. You'll get to see Harvey at defensive end. You'll get a chance to see Xavier Gilliam at defensive tackle. And so you get a chance to see Luke Reynolds. Besides, you know, you'll see Andrew Rapoport, no doubt about that. But you'll get to see Luke Reynolds really for the first time. Hey, Luke Reynolds, you know, he's about 225. He'll need more weight to play the tight end spot. But as a prospect, he's a really good prospect. Really good prospect. And I mentioned earlier, Check out number 50 in the offensive line, Cooper Cousins. He has come in, and I'm watching him. They had eight winter workouts. I went to two of the eight. And, like, wow, this kid is beyond his years in terms of how he looks, how he works, everything. Wow, he's beyond his years. Okay. Right. Well, then you watch, say, let's see how he handles spring practice. He's done well in spring practice. Has he been perfect? Of course not. But he's done well. He's done more than hold his own. How about that? And so those are some. And then, of course, then you want to look at the kickers. Right? You know Riley Thompson's the punter. You know Gabe Wosu's the kickoff guy. You know Tyler Dozanski is the snapper. I mean, so that's more knowns than a year ago. A year ago, you didn't know about the snapper, although I know I told everybody in the show it's Dozanski. Don't even think twice about it because Tyler's really good. Well, Tyler showed everybody he is really good. But that was the only known that you had in the kicking game a year ago going into the blue-white game. Now the snapper is known. Punter's known. Right, kickoff guy's known. Question is on the place kicker part. Sander Sahadic, Ryan Barker, and Meyer from Tulsa. So let's see how in the stadium that, because they have none of them, right? Because Sahadic obviously has kicked in Beaver Stadium, right? Barker is only warmed up in Beaver Stadium, and Mayer's driven past it a couple of times on the way to the practice field. So that's something to watch for. So those are just some things to watch for tomorrow, just to have some fun and watch for different things. So, yeah.
We've had several callers talk about, you know, it's not really talking about Andy Koltunicki's offense. It's more of his communication skills. Are you seeing that same thing? Has that been huge for him, and how important has that been for them?
Well, you know where he stands. He praises, and he'll get mad at him. Okay? He'll go both. You do something right, he's the first one to tell you did something right. You do something wrong, he'll talk to you about it. Okay, when he'll get mad is when he's mad at the group. Like, if you do something wrong, he'll pull you aside and he'll talk to you. But if he's mad at the group, okay, everybody in the building hears it. Okay, but that's communication. And again, if you're doing it right, he's the first one to tell you you're doing, hey, great job, really great job. That's what we need to see. Do it every play. All right? Tom Allen has talked to his team about, you know, carrying themselves as a pro. Now, carrying yourself as a pro is not thinking about the NFL. That's not it. Carrying yourself as a pro is that you, it's something I try to tell my class this all the time. Take care of all the little things. The big things take care of themselves. A pro is prepared. A pro does extra work. A pro shows up on time. Okay, a pro is ready to go. A pro is supportive of others. A pro is not afraid to work with somebody who makes them better. A pro is not worried about asking somebody a question because they're not quite sure. Right? A pro carries themselves that sets an example for other people to carry themselves as a pro. It's not that, oh, I'm a pro, I'm in the NFL. There are a lot of people playing in the NFL that aren't pros. And then there's a big number that are in the NFL that carry themselves as pros. They know they have to do 5,000 things just to hang in there and stay in the league, because that's the vast majority of players in the league. But if you are a pro in anything you do, you just talk about Purdy Insurance, I'd say they're the pros' pros. I say that all the time, and I mean that, because they're dedicated. They take care of all the little things. Other people around them mean something to them, right? Well, that's carrying yourself as a pro, And Tom Allen talks to them about that stuff all the time, right? You're out there in that practice field. Carry yourself as a pro, right? By the way, something happens on the field, right? Somebody takes a swing at you. Do you swing back? Pro doesn't. Pro looks over and goes, hey, I'm going back to my huddle. You're going to get the 15-yard penalty, not me. Why? It hurts the team. That's how a pro acts. You know, things like that. So there's a lot of lessons that you learn out of this that a lot of people don't talk about. But that's a big part of it. You know, I mean, you hear the word, oh, he's a real pro. Well, the real pro, if you take care of all the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. You can control being on time. You can control your preparation. You can control doing the extras. Okay? You can control how you treat other people. You can control how you are as a teammate, whether it's at work or as an athlete. You can control how you treat authority figures, in this case, coaches. You can control all that. And it allows you to be at your best. Now, does it mean that you're going to be better than that person over there? Sometimes the other person over there is so talented, it's hard to be. Okay. And those are some of the things, you know, you talk about. But Andy does communicate. There's no question about that. Now, in terms of meetings and things like that, I haven't been in meetings, but, I mean, you know, I haven't done that. I mean, I'm doing the show and they're doing meetings. But I'm around him, watching him in the practice field. I'm around him talking to the players. And see, here's something that's very underrated. And it's something where, with more time on the show Wednesday night, I would have brought up. But this is where having Danny O'Brien as the grad assistant coach who is in charge of the quarterbacks, where he is the quarterback coach. He may be the GA, but he's the quarterback coach. And as a GA, you're allowed to be on the field. Okay, coaching. This is where having Danny in that spot makes a huge difference for Andy, because now Andy can go around and be with the offensive linemen. Then Andy can go over and he can be with the tight ends. Then Andy can go over and be with the quarterbacks. Then Andy can go over and be with the running backs. Then Andy can go over and be and observe the wide receivers. See, as the offensive coordinator, he's able to go around to every area because he's not coaching a position. He's coaching the offense. And because he has Danny there to take care of business, Danny O'Brien, with the quarterbacks, it gives Andy the opportunity to go around to all the positions to get his own eyeballs and evaluations to then supplement what Phil Troutwine might tell him, to supplement what Marcus Hagans might tell him, to supplement what Jaywan might tell him, what Ty might tell him. I think that makes a big difference. Big difference. Now, Tom Allen coaches a position. He coaches linebackers. But he also has Justin Lustig, who's coaching the nickels and the outside linebackers, which helps. Because, I mean, you know, it gives Tom the opportunity then to go around and see some other things, too. But Tom is, you know, he is a position coach with the linebackers as well as being defensive coordinator. And that's the way it's always been done here. Bob Shoup coached in the secondary. Brent coached linebackers. Manny coached linebackers. All right, take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street and somebody go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Do you buy Purdy Insurance? Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of all your insurance needs, do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. More from the Sunbury Motor Studio in the final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It has been a day where Todd feels technology has let him down.
Might be a little bit on my end too, but we'll blame it on technology.
Look, just do what I do when I'm there. Just hit it on the side. Some of the stuff's made in the old Soviet Union. All it understands is force.
Yeah, we Fonzie it sometimes.
So do we have the king on?
We do.
Well, he just got back from a wild national championship party in stores.
Actually, tomorrow, I'm supposed to help Steve Roy move to right by Dodd Stadium. Remember we'd do games down there?
Sure, down in Norwich, yep.
Yep. So he's moving down there, and it dawned on me. I said, oh, my God, we can't go down Route 2. The parade is tomorrow in Hartford. I've been to a couple of them. And there's like 100,000 people going to be there. So we got to, I said, I know. We'll take the route through UConn. Nobody will be there. So,
well, the bottom line is, I mean, you want to talk about the best team? I mean, the best team. They have been the best team the last 2 years. They've won 12 consecutive NCAA tournament games, right, over the last 2 years. They beat everybody by double digits. A friend of mine was embedded with the Purdue basketball program. I think she was thinking about maybe she'd end up, maybe if she could write a book, right? And Dick Girardi and I didn't have the heart to tell her she was wasting her time. Because we both thought UConn was going to crush them. And a big part of that, why did we think that way? There's a reason why we thought that way. Because their ball movement is superior. That's one thing. But when you can have a big man that can at least go head-to-head with Zach Edey, and you don't have to double him. Now you have four very good players who play above themselves because they get open, now being covered. And those four players covered, it tells you everything. They hit one three-pointer. That tells you everything. And it really played out the way we both thought it was going to play out.
He's a tremendous basketball coach. One guy brought up something. He said, you seldom see this, but I think it was Purdue or maybe it was Alabama. I'm not sure. Whoever they were playing, press them, put the press on. And normally the press is put on like after a timeout or, you know, he said they knew exactly what to do when they were pressed, and there was no question of what the, how they reacted to it on, you know, just like on the go. They knew exactly what to do. He said that's how well coached they are, and the guy knows what he's doing. I was worried about the foul trouble that the UConn centers were in, but he just went with a small lineup. He had an answer for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He wasn't worried. You know,
he does a good job of coaching, but he also has the talent to coach.
He recruited him, you know.
Well, take Cam Spencer. Look, Cam Spencer, yeah. Dick and I were talking about this yesterday, and He says, I thought Spencer was good when he was at Rutgers. I said, but geez, watching him play at UConn, he's unbelievable. I said, well, Dick, I said, the difference is at Rutgers, which is offensively challenged. I mean, Rutgers is an offensively challenged group. I mean, I don't know how they sell any season tickets. It's like watching Iowa play offensive football. And I said, when he went to UConn, he didn't have to carry the whole thing himself as a shooter. He was then a valuable part. He could just do his thing. And that's, you know, he already has a great point guard, a great college point guard in Newton. Makes a big difference. And Cam Spencer could just go out and play Cam Spencer. He didn't have to carry a whole team offensively.
Play his role. They were just a very deep team. He makes them go to class. He's very, very strict and hard on them. But they love him. They respond to him. You know, how long? I thought it was funny that you nailed it again. My buddy Calipari, he's gone from Kentucky and left the program a mess, you know. nobody wants to coach that team. Now they got Pope in there, but
he's never even
won a tournament game. I don't know how that's going to work out, but they asked Hurley, he said, "I don't want to get divorced." His wife wouldn't go. Nobody wants to coach the program, so it's not like it was. It's different now. You know, can Connecticut three-peat? Maybe, but they're going to lose a lot of these guys. So who's he going to bring in?
I don't know. And that's what you have to find out. At Kentucky, at least Mark Pope is a Kentucky grad. He was part of the 96 national championship team. So he's got those roots. I thought he did a very good job at BYU. He was at Utah Valley. At BYU, he goes in. He made them one of the top three teams in the WCC right away with St. Mary's and Gonzaga. And then he had to do something this season that's difficult. When you change conferences as a program, right? As a program, we're now okay. I've never traveled to Iowa State before. Now we got to do that. You know, about the hotel, the arena, all the logistics with that. Hey, we got to go now to Manhattan, Kansas, and play Kansas State. You know, what about that arena? What about the hotel? What about the setup? Okay, now we haven't gotten to the personnel yet. You're now facing all different personnel than what you faced. Because he could probably sit there and tell you, okay, we're going to play Gonzaga. Drew Timmy does this, 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 and this. He's still not great at that, and he's about the same here. So you already have that base evaluation when you kick in the video and start watching. So, okay, he's a little better here, he's a little better. He's the same there, right? He's still vulnerable to that. You know, now you have to do that with a whole new set of players. And not only just with one team, you have to do that with a whole new set of players on 13 other teams. That's not easy to do. And Kelvin Sampson did it. He did it. Cincy did it. You know, UCF did it. It's not an easy thing to do. And it's something that, for example, Eric Musselman, Mick Cronin, Dana Altman, Danny Sprinkle are all going to have to do, along with the four football coaches, Lincoln Riley, Jed Fish, Dan Lanning, and Deshaun Foster. They're all going to have to learn the other teams in the Big Ten because they don't play them.
Yeah, that's how I was going to say. Isn't the Big Ten in the same spot? You know, with having to travel. I mean, regular season travel is one thing, but regular season travel to a different time zone is another thing, you know?
Well, and this is something, I mean, look, Penn State in football and in basketball, they're going to have to each do it once a year.
Right.
Right? So there's no multiples, but once a year you have to do it. But it brings with it logistics. How do you do all this? Do you go on Thursday? Do you really leave early on Friday? What time's the game out there, according to TV? How do you get the?
What about our announcers?
We're on the plane. They just tell us what time to show up. That's all we need to know. Just tell me what time we're supposed to show up, and we're going to be 45 minutes early. All right.
But
let's take football for example. Here's one that people probably don't think about it. They take all the equipment and they put it on a tractor trailer and they drive it. It usually leaves on Thursday night. It usually is there in the parking lot when we pull in there on a Friday, at the parking lot of the hotel. But when do you leave to go to California?
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of logistics that come into play here. And that's why, for example, when you have a sports performance person, like, for example, that's Andrew Nelson at Penn State now, right? How do you do it where, okay, you're on a plane going west, you're going against the wind. So there's a good chance that the flight's going to take between 5.5 and 6 hours. So what do you want the players to do during the 5.5 to 6 hours? How often do you want them up walking around on the plane? What kind of plane do you take? There's a lot of things that come into play here as to how you're supposed to do it. And the rules on travel, for example, at Penn State, which were put in by Old Main, the faculty, and so forth, were put in without California teams in there. So you have to amend that stuff to make it fit as to what you're doing. There's a lot of logistics
America
here.
Right now, that's insane. That they did this. I'm looking at Pennsylvania, looking at California. That's all the way across the country to play a league game. That's insane. That's stupid.
Now, let's say this from the announcer's point of view. I think it's kind of exciting to go out and see them play USC, UCLA. Go out and see them play Oregon and Washington. There's a part of me that says it's kind of neat.
Now,
that's the announcer point
for you,
of view.
But as far as the way you're explaining it and getting all the equipment out there and doing all that stuff, it's almost like maybe you can borrow equipment. I don't know.
Nah.
Wouldn't you want to try and put it on a plane and fly it out there?
Well, and that may be you take two planes and one of them does include the equipment. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the way across the country. You know,
because
Pennsylvania,
it's
you could basically say, is an East Coast team, just not on the coast. You know,
I've done several Rose Bowls in my career. I've done the Fiesta Bowl, but on bowl games, you have plenty of time to get out there.
That's different. It's a totally
different thing, as opposed to okay. Now you got to play this week, and then is an even bigger part that people never think of. When Penn State went to Ireland, they didn't have a bye week. They came back and had to play a home game right away. Right? It took 2-3 weeks to kind of get yourself back on balance. It's the same thing with this. What's it going to take to get yourself back on balance? Because Penn State has to go right back. I think the next week after USC is a bye week. That really helps. And then they play at Wisconsin.
I want to go to a game this year in California. Will you take me?
There you go. Come on along. This will be a lot of fun. In fact, we'll go to Mastro's in Beverly Hills. We're going to get you the seafood tower. You're going to love life.
I don't fly, though.
Well, it's going to be a long trip for you.
I'm going on the tractor trailer.
Yeah, we'll put you on the Hoy transfer tractor trailer. Hey, we'll come back. Some trivia questions in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student-athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student-athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Nearly 70 recruits here for the blue-white game tomorrow, just so you know. All right. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, trivia time. All right, who wants to go first today?
Todd.
All right.
Perfect.
How many players in NCAA Division I baseball history have hit 40 home runs in a single season?
Robin Ventura.
I will say six.
It is, oh, what was the question?
How many have hit 40 homers?
How many?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I think Ventura. I'm going to say three.
You both were close. It's four.
Wow. Four. Very nice.
And you're confusing Robin Ventura with and Pete Incaviglia. Ventura had the hitting streak.
Yeah, Ventura, how many games in a row did he hit?
I think it was like
59 or
yeah, something like that, 58 or 59.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And he had a good pro career, too.
I remember doing a game at Indiana when I think he was at the White Sox at the time, and it turned out he sat right next to me on press row for the game. Nice guy.
Well, I'm not sure Nolan Ryan agrees.
I didn't say everybody's perfect.
That's one of my favorite baseball fights.
That actually was a good baseball fight. Mm-hmm. Right.
Didn't Ryan beat him up?
Yeah, he hit him about four times on top of the head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan was a nasty guy. He was a tough guy. I bet he could still throw over 90.
Oh, goodness gracious. He could strike out half these guys. Right, no. Most of them looking curveball. What's that? What's that?
He was nasty.
Oh,
him and Bob Gibson. I mean, these guys. They were talking about this the other day. They said Bob Gibson in the World Series threw three complete games. And that would never happen today. These guys are lucky if they throw one complete game all year. Never mind at the end of the year. After pitching all year.
The only
Pedro
complete game
Martinez
so-
says that they're too muscular, they're not stretching out their ligaments, and they're being taught how to throw the ball wrong, and that's why they're all falling apart so quickly. So he would know. So
but, the only complete game so far this year is the no hitter.
No.
How many no hitters?
Just the one, the guy from Houston that threw the no hitter last week. That's
the
only complete game.
First or second game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only complete game all season.
But Cole is goes out for how long. You know, he says these guys get hurt all the time now, and they're not throwing as many pitches as they used to throw.
Hey, be happy.
He's blaming
Aaron Judge,
the training that they have. So.
Be happy. Aaron Judge made it through the first 2.5 weeks relatively unscathed.
Sox are doing good, man. Here's my trivia question.
Playing great.
Name one player on the Boston Red Sox.
I could name the guy in the IL, Trevor Story.
No, I mean currently playing for the
Rafael,
Boston Red Sox.
Rafael Devers.
I tell you what, they are not happy with him, boy. No. But here's my trivia question.
Yeah.
What team won the very first NBA game in 1946?
I will say the New York Knickerbockers.
I'm going to go Fort Wayne Pistons.
Steve got it. New York Knicks. How would you even know that? I don't. It happened 90 years ago. Okay, congratulations, you win.
Well, it's an illness. All right. Lynn Dickey.
How would you even know that?
It's an illness. Lynn Dickey was a pretty good quarterback with the Green Bay Packers. He actually played against Jack Ham in college. What college did Lynn Dickey play for?
Kansas.
Kevin?
I hate it when people call me Kevin.
King?
Let's see. That usually means something else if my wife calls me Kevin. What I do. Kansas is a good guess. Thank God. Rutgers.
Kansas State.
Wow, good job, Todd. That's close. You can eliminate the state.
I wouldn't say that in Manhattan, Kansas, but all right.
They wouldn't know. Oh, good question.
Todd, I think you're next. I think Todd's next.
I've only needed one the last 2 weeks, so I wasn't prepared for a second
one. All right, King, go ahead. Here's your second question.
You want me to give you one?
Yeah.
Okay, ask what team won the very first football game played at night?
I will say pro?
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
Bears.
And Todd?
Chicago. Bears.
The Philadelphia Athletics.
Oh.
See, you learned something today, huh? I don't know if they're right, but...
Blue-white game is tomorrow. Blue-white game tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We're on beginning at 1:45 from
Go
Beaver
Blue.
Stadium. Go no injuries.
Exactly. All right, have a good weekend, guys.
All right, stock up at Brewers Outlet now for the big game.